always grieved in my circle and other circles with people that have no concept of God going to the nations. Is everybody called to go to the nations? No. But we can certainly pray for the nations and the purpose of God. And God could also direct us to give the finances to the right people. I mean, it's very important to give finances. I had a brother recently. I was preaching a message, and I was talking about the reason why people were struggling financially, that they were giving finances to the wrong people. This brother, this was a message I had given that was put on Facebook at my Sunday meeting. And he was a missionary in Africa, and he was realizing he was giving money to the wrong ministries because their ministries turned on him right after he heard this message. And he recognized that he had to withdraw money from that individual who could not handle it. God, we need to seek him in every avenue of our lives in this hour.
Amen.
We need to be directed in every area. And God is speaking to the nations. If you think it's easy to be a missionary, you should try it. Amen. I remember this one brother saying in India to me, "I'm sorry, brother, but we don't have the conveniences. Here's your shower." It was basically a room with a bucket of water. And so I'll tell you something right now. God is moving among the nations. God is making his arm bare among the nations. God is measuring in this hour. Oh, this level of judgment didn't work. I got to go to another level. And God is measuring the nations. And he's measuring them with justice, mercy, and judgment. God is measuring the nations. And what you're seeing and what you're hearing about is that God is numbering the nations. Their days are numbered. And only the remnant is going to remain in sovereign. Amen? Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and see how the Lord is measuring the church. Praise God. How many feel they're being measured? I'm not telling us that we've got to measure up to God by the arm of the law. I mean, that doesn't do anything. But I still believe, no matter how long we've known the Lord, there's a standard that God wants us to walk in. And I'm very leery of Americans, Canadians, or any, all they talk about is the freedom we have. Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And yet here was a man, when they were moving from the Articles of Confederation, which meant every state could do their own thing, to the Constitution, where now we would be under a government and we would be in a corporate sense. This same man who preached freedom stood against the Constitution of the United States, which said that we need to come under a government, not just individually as a state. And there's a church realm today that they proclaim a lot about freedom, but they also don't understand we've got to come under the government of God. The government and the standard of God. We can't just walk like we used to walk. We can't be with the people we used to be with. God says in the Word, don't walk with the disorderly. So what do we try to do? Save them. But sometimes you have to walk away from people you used to be with, so that God's testimony in your life can be preserved. God wants to preserve what he has started in us. He doesn't want it to become contaminated. Amen. That we become useless in the purpose of God. Amen. Who we walk with means a lot. Who we are hanging out with. Amen. And we all need to be challenged. Everyone, brother, say this. Every preacher who calls us a man of God should relate to a Paul. Every one of us needs somebody. I hang out with an 88-year-old prophet. Amen. I talked to him on the phone. He has spoken into my life. He's one of the old-timers that's still alive. I appreciate Brother and Sister Johnson. They've spoken into my life as a young preacher. I'm glad that the Lord is still preserving them. I trust they're a blessing to many of you. We need the Pauls. We need the Barnabases. We need the friends who are our colleagues. Everybody likes to have the Timothys, people that answer to them. But it's a challenge to submit to a Paul. It's a challenge to walk with a Barnabas. See, God is telling, and then also the Lord wants to give us the Timothys. The young ministries that God's raising up. Amen. I'll tell you this. I relate to all three. And I might be in existence today because of that. because I sit at an altar court. Seek out the Paul if you can find them. Seek out the Barnabases. Seek out the Timothys. Just don't hang out with the people that you're superior to. God desires us to be meet the measurement of the Lord. Amen. And the part of the measurement of the Lord is we need to submit to His authority. And we have to be careful who we're submitting to, because not all submit to Christ. Amen. Paul says, you submit to me only as long as you see me following the Lord. You don't hear that preached today. But God says that we need to submit to people. We need those of us that are in ministry. Our ministry will not be validated, and it will eventually be taken off the scene if we're just going to do it in our own steam, in our own way. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what I've appreciated about Durham-Full Gospel, is that the ministries that have been raised up in this church have paid their dues submitting to many. Praise God. I thank God for the Brother Gardners and Brother McKenna's and Brother Terry, who was tutored, Brother Clayton. These brethren have been tutored by people. Amen. This is so vital in this hour, when there's a generation that are running from all forms of authority. Amen? Amen. If you want authority, you have to be under authority. And so we see a man here in Ephesians. Praise God. And I love this in Ephesians 3. When I went to Bible school to teach, I asked the Lord, my first year to teach in the Bible college where I met Arlene in Ingersoll, Ontario, I said, Lord, my two favorite books are Ephesians and Isaiah. It would mean so much to me if I could teach them. And what does the principal of the school do? He doesn't even know what I want. He gives me those two books. Ephesians, which is about spiritual maturity, and Isaiah, which is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who rules out of Zion. Amen. Psalms and Isaiah are neck and neck with the word Zion. You'll find the word Zion in Psalms and Isaiah within the other book. Amen. And that's where I'm not waiting to get there. We're already there. But on the other hand, we've come on to Mount Zion. But then in Revelation 14, it says we need to get to the top of Zion. See, we're still climbing. How many feel like you still can climb? And if you can't climb, Jesus will take over. Jesus will carry you to new heights and depths. Amen. I love the writings of Paul in verse 17, Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That means permanently. Permanently. You say that he doesn't want you to be a drop-in, drop-out Christian. He wants Christ to be permanently dwelling in you, that being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Now, when you're looking at the breadth in the Greek, it's talking about a vastness. It would be similar to the prairies in Western Canada. If you were going to go on a hike in the prairies, you would know your starting point, wouldn't you? You wouldn't forget where you were. But also you would see vastness in front of you. And this is what the Lord said to Abraham. Look to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south. And many of God's people are only looking at one side. What side are they looking at? I've been forgiven, I've been saved, and now all I'm called to do is be a soul winner so I can go to heaven. I mean, you know, that's baby food. God doesn't want us stopping there. We're called to know Him. We're called to know Jesus. Amen. How many have we heard over the years that led hundreds of the Lord, thousands of the Lord, and then they fall away because they didn't know Him? This was prevalent in the 50s in America. We had power healing evangelists. And many of them ended up backslidden. Many of them ended up alcoholics. All types of things. False doctrine. But yet, many, many came into the kingdom through that. And God's saying that we need to aim at the fullness. And if we aim at the fullness, God's going to keep us. The people who have the greatest chance to make it at this hour are the people that are looking for all that Jesus has for them. Do not stop where you are. Do not become satisfied where you are. And God will test you with the blessings He's given you, to see if you will settle for material blessing. Praise God. No matter how big the blessing is to me, when I get it, I thank God for it, and then I go on. That does not become my preoccupation. Because we're called to be pilgrims. He'll test you with blessing to see if you'll be prideful. He'll test you with suffering to see if you'll depend on Him. And so so the Lord is putting vastness before us. When the Lord's talking about the great salvation that He wants to give us, neglect not the great salvation. The word neglect in the Greek means moving from point A to the climax. Be careful that you don't start well, but not get to the goal. And the great salvation, the word in the Greek means vast. It's vast like an ocean that never ends. So He wants us to have the breath. He wants us never to forget the cross. But He wants us to be looking ahead for that which He wants to bring us into. Amen. I would say this is the place of vision. That's what the place of breath is. The length in the Greek means something that has grown to completion. Praise God. God wants to complete a work in you and me. He's bringing us to completion. The word depth in the Greek means mystery. And Paul wrote about the mystery. He uses the word mystery quite often. But see, the depth has true connotations. You've got to go low to get to the depth. And Paul's greatest messages were not preached in a pulpit. His greatest messages were preached with a pen. Recently, a good friend of mine, he's a brother, has known many of the brothers I've known. He's in his 80s, and he's had a great ministry in Canyon. He's asking Arlene and I if we can go there, which we may someday. He has some churches there. And he's been, because of his health, he's so disappointed that he can't go overseas. Well, in the last conference, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him. And when I was done with it, I hoped I'd hit the nail on the head. I was actually, Lord, I hope, and the prophecy was this, that you're not longer able to go, but the Lord wants you to intercede. And recently he came out of one of our Zoom sessions. He said, Brother Bert, he said, that was the word of the Lord. He says, I have a prayer of one thing I don't think I've ever known. And he wrote an article and sent it to me on intercession. Amen. And I'm thankful. You know, if you can't do what you want, then do what God's telling you to do. Paul then sent him to prison twiddling his thumbs. He got his pen going. And God, some people are better with their pen than they are with their mouth. And what God doesn't care, no matter who you what you are, let the word of God flow. Let it come out of your life. Some people are gifted writers. Whatever you're called to do, do it. And then he's calling us to the height. The word height, and this is wrapping up, this is the purpose of God. And the height represents being exalted to a place of dignity. That means I am no longer what I used to be. Amen. The book of Samuel talks about that God will raise His people from the dung so they can inherit the pillars of glory. Praise God. He didn't take us out so we could go back in. He takes us out so we can arrive at the glory of God. Yes. Heaven is not your goal. We're supposed to be already in heaven. Praise the Lord. We're already there, but we haven't yet appropriated all that it represents. So the height is, God says, where it says that you've been raised up together with Him in heavenly places, the Greek word for raised is enthroned. God is calling us to live enthroned life now. The Bible says that in this life, we are to live with Jesus Christ and be a conqueror by faith in Romans. But yet, the Bible says, the he that overcometh, I will grant to sit up on the throne. Isn't that wonderful? We get a throne now and we get one later. There's a difference between coming to the throne of grace and being saved and bringing others there. But God is calling us to come to the throne of glory. God has an inheritance for us. He doesn't want us to be satisfied just with what we've received in the way of the throne of grace. He wants us to intercede. And it's so wonderful we can keep coming to the throne of grace, even in time of need. We can come there. But when you're in the throne of glory, you've been fixed there. God wants to fix us there. Amen.